This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. The author is Jeff Perlman. Hailed as a master storyteller, Perlman is the New York Times bestselling author of 9 previous books on iconic subjects, including 80s Los Angeles Lakers, Showtime, the basis for the hit 2022 HBO series Winning Time, directed by Adam McKay, the 1986 New York Mets, The Bad Guys Won, the 90s Dallas Cowboys, Boys Will Be Boys, and NFL legend Walter Payton, Sweetness. Now Perlman returns his remarkable talents to a figure he considers to be in a class of his own. Indeed, the greatest athlete of all time, who forever redefined the modern sports superstar, Bo Jackson. Happy to have Jeff Perlman join me now here on Speaking of Writers. Jeff, welcome to this program.
Thank you. I love the name of your program. It inspires me. I'm all with it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jeff. So what inspired you to write this book about Bo Jackson?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Mayopack, New York, and my room walls were covered by posters. I can see it in my head. I really can. Ricky Henderson and Walter Payton and Michael Jordan. And probably the biggest poster was Bo Jackson. And I'm very nostalgic, very, very nostalgic. And I was thinking about my next book. I just thought, man, he was the greatest athlete who ever lived. And yet there's a generation of people who have no idea he ever existed. And I just thought, I'm gonna dive into this one to see how it goes.
Bo, the first person to simultaneously star in 2 major pro sports, and the only one to be named an All-Star in both baseball and football. Bo was a Heisman Trophy winner and a pop culture phenomenon. His strength, power, and speed were the stuff of legend among fans and fellow athletes alike. From the mid-80s until the early 90s, when injuries forced him into early retirement, he seemed to be everywhere, too, splashed across our television screens and magazine covers in those pre-internet days as both a stellar athlete and ubiquitous Bo Knows Nike spokesman, of course. So have you talked to Bo about this project?
I did. One of the first people I talked to was Bo Jackson when I was early in the reporting stages. I sent him a couple of my books, and I sent him a letter, and I was in my backyard. This is 2020, and Bo Jackson calls me. He was very, very nice and very cool. He was driving to get his wife a chopped salad, and we spoke at length, and at the end he said, you know, I don't have a problem with you doing this, but I don't really feel the pull to help out, I guess you would say, or the compelled. And, you know, that's happened with books before, and that's all good. And I got really lucky writing-wise because Bo had an autobiography come out in 1990 called Bo Knows Bo. It was written by Dick Schaap, the late journalist. And before Dick Schaap passed away, he donated all his notes, tapes, everything to the Auburn University Library, and it had sat in the basement for about 30 years. And someone made me aware of it, and it's basically 500 pages of mostly never-before-read or seen material from Bo Jackson. So, you know, one door closes, another opens.
Jeff, as we look at the research you did for this book, you've drawn over 700 original interviews with people from Bo's professional and personal life. Was there a common theme when you spoke to all of these people about Bo?
I can't believe you did this, and you wouldn't believe he did that. And oh my God, I saw him do this, and really, he did that. I know you're not going to believe me, but he did. That was the common theme. It was just this constant, like, he's the greatest athlete I've ever seen, and here's proof. And you may not believe me, but he really did this. And that was really cool because it lined up with the whole idea of my book is, you know, here's this athlete who's just otherworldly and beyond belief, and he came and went in a flash. So people supported that in droves.
In addition to the 700 original interviews, there were transcripts from long-lost interviews with Bo housed in the bowels of the Auburn University Library. What was the most difficult aspect of researching this book?
Well, COVID made it a little hard because I couldn't travel as much. I ended up going to his hometown in Bessemer, Alabama one time, went to Auburn, did some library work in Birmingham, but I like to travel. I like to travel for this job. I like to see where people grew up and developed, and I probably would have gone to Kansas City and definitely would have gone to Memphis where he played minor league ball and all those things. And I didn't get that opportunity. So that was very, very frustrating. It's not the end of the world, but it wasn't my preferred route.
We're chatting with Jeff Perlman. His new book is The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. The title, Jeff, The Last Folk Hero. Why is that a fitting way to describe Bo Jackson?
Well, you know, the term came up by it was another writer, Joe Posnanski, who originally called him that. And the idea is basically he did all these things that no one saw. And nowadays when an athlete, you know, when John Morant comes along, just as an example, we see him from the time he's young in high school. We see clips of him. And Bo, we know he ran a 4.13 40. We didn't see it. Even the throw, his famous throw to nail Harold Reynolds at home with the Royals, we never see him release the ball because there's only one camera. There's so many things and stories that we know are true, we've heard are true, 500-foot home runs and sprints that would lead you dizzy, but we never saw them. So there's an element of mythology to it.
Yeah, I was watching that video earlier a couple of times of when he throws out Harold Reynolds at home plate. And yeah, you don't actually see him throw the ball because of that one camera angle then.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. And we know he did it. I mean, we're certain he did it, but you never see it. And that sort of thing. We have enough clips of Bo Jackson doing amazing things that we know he's amazing. We have a clip of him running up the wall in Baltimore. We have a clip of him running over Brian Bosworth. So you know the things he can do are there. We just don't see a ton of them. And that made the book really fun, actually, because it was almost like a mystery search.
Jeff, he is notoriously private. Tell us a bit about what you learned about his early life.
It was rough. He was one of 11. His mom raised him, single mom. His dad lived across town with his other family, had very little to do with his son. He was dirt poor, Bo was. Three-room house, no running water, tar paper roof. He stuttered severely as a kid, was held back in elementary school, was a bully. His nickname stems from the name. His name is Vincent Edward Jackson, named after Vincent Edwards, the actor from Ben Casey. Bo comes from when he was about 12. He and some friends went to a neighboring farm armed with sticks and spent 3 days beating the crap out of a boar hog. In the South, a boar hog is called a bow hog. So Bo comes from bow hog, which is boar hog. He was a bully. He was definitely a bully. And he was, you know, hard and he was tough. And he was raised with a mom who wouldn't spare the rod or the shower curtain. But because of that, I think he found sports and found a place to put that anger.
I mentioned the famous Nike ads earlier in the late 80s, early 90s, the Bo-Nose Nike ads. They were everywhere. Why do you think that campaign was so successful?
Well, part of it was the perfect product with the perfect athlete. It was a cross trainer, and they were waiting for a guy like Bo Jackson to come along. I mean, he exemplified cross training. He was a football player, baseball player, and also a successful track and field guy. The ads were brilliant. My favorite story of that is the Bo You Don't Know Diddley ad, which is, you know, Bo knows baseball, Bo knows football, with guys like Jim Everett and Michael Jordan. That ad was scheduled to air to debut during the 1989 Major League All-Star Game. And Nike put a ton of money and resources into that. And Bo Jackson led off that game with a home run. And this is when the All-Star Games were heavily viewed and the audiences were into the big millions. And at Mickey Mantle's restaurant in New York City, all the Nike executives are sitting together watching the All-Star Game, knowing their ad is going to run later that day. And when Bo hit that home run, they just went crazy and berserk, and they're jumping and screaming inside Mickey Mantle's restaurant because they know they just struck marketing gold.
You share so many great stories, and there's so many of them about Bo in this book. Do you have a favorite?
I do. I would say it was when Bo was a junior at Auburn, they played the first night baseball game at the University of Georgia at Foley Field. And Bo Jackson's playing right field for Auburn, and the Georgia fans are just booing him and, you know, razzing him and giving him a lot of grief. And his first at-bat, he flies out, returns back to the outfield. They're booing him, mocking him. The second at-bat, he hits a ball that hits the light post. Hits the light, not just the post. Actually hits the lights. Those there say, swear it's the hardest ball they've ever seen hit. And this was 39 days before The Natural came out, you know, with the whole light hitting scene. So Bo did it first. And he runs back out to the outfield. And all the fans who are booing him stand and start bowing at him. His next two at-bats, he hits two more home runs. His last at-bat, he doubles, and the fans boo him. It's just mythical, and there's no tape of it. There are a couple articles about it. It was just me interviewing a gazillion people who were a part of that night.
Jeff, in today's landscape, do you think there's an opportunity for another multi-sport pro athlete to emerge?
I mean, the problem is parents and AAU coaches and tutors, and we all, I mean, I'm a dad of two teenagers, and I don't do this, but most of my peers do, where they, you have a kid who comes along and he shows he's really good at tennis. Well, we need to get him in an academy. And when he's not playing tennis for the school team, we need to get him on a private team. And we need to get him a tutor. Oh, here's a guy, a local guy who played in Wimbledon once when he was 19. He'll tutor him for $500 a lesson. And we've lost just letting kids play. You know, I've written about Bo Jackson, wrote about Walter Payton, wrote about Brett Favre, Barry Bonds, Magic Johnson, all these kids. Back in the day, they would play in their yard, and they would play pickup, and they would play kill the carrier, and they'd go to a field and play stickball, whatever, all these things. We've taken that away from kids. We truly have. So the idea of a kid being allowed to be a two-sport athlete feels very foreign nowadays.
What would you like readers to take away from The Last Folk Hero?
I guess two things. Number one, that this was the greatest athlete who's ever walked the earth, and his exploits are just ridiculous. And I don't care if you're talking about Jim Thorpe or Deion Sanders, or Ken Griffey, or Willie Mays. There's never been a better athlete than Bo Jackson. And number two, I really mean this, in these crappy times when we're all obsessed with politics and COVID and climate change and et cetera, a million burdens in our lives, I think it's nice to read an enjoyable book and a folk story. And this really is a true folk story. So if people can just get a little enjoyment in their lives, I'd be pretty happy.
He's Jeff Perlman. The book is The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. You can connect with Jeff online at jeffperlman.com. You can follow him on Twitter, too, at Jeff Perlman. What is next for you and your writing?
I actually don't know. I'm kind of searching out an idea. If you have any great ideas, let me know. I'm here for them.
All right. We'll enjoy this great book now. It's The Last Folk Hero, Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. The author is Jeff Perlman. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And this is Speaking of Writers.